This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون كما أمر الله لنا في القرآن الكريم بعد الأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وبعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن حديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, to all the brothers and sisters, let us begin our class with the morning azkar, the morning dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna. وبك أمسينا وبك نحيا وبك نموت وإليك النشور بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار. And together we make a dua for one of our Jama'ah's son who passed away just last Sunday in accident. The son's name is Afiq bin Ayub. Let us make a dua for him. Allahumma qfil lahu warhamhu wa'afihi wa'fu anhu wa'akrim nuzulahu wa'wasi' mudkhalahu wa'khsilhu bilma'i wa'thalji والبرد ونقيه من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس اللهم أبدله دارا خيرا من داره وأهلا خيرا من أهله وزوجا خيرا من زوجه اللهم أدخله جنتك وأجره من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم لا تحرمنا أجره ولا تدلنا بعده يغفر الله لنا وله ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين. Alhamdulillah to all the sisters and brothers. Firstly, we like to thank Allah Rabbul Alameen for all His bounties, for all His blessing, His mercy. Allah Rabbul Alameen have been very kind to all of us, provide us peace in this country, give us all the provision that we have not been asking from Allah, He still give it to us, especially health, is something very, very valuable in our life. And also Allah Rabbul Alameen have make all of us become the student of knowledge, seeking Allah's pleasure, asking Allah Rabbul Alameen to help us to understand His deen in the way Allah want us to understand. Brother and sister, before we continue, firstly, we'd like to send a warm salam from our fellow family brothers and sisters in Islam from Norway, Oslo, to all our Jama'ah here, and some that we met in Copenhagen, they send their warm salam to our sisters and brother here. Alhamdulillah. We also like to thank all the sisters, brothers who are making dua for our journey when we were there for the peace conference. Alhamdulillah, Allah have make it easy for all of us. And may Allah reward any one of us who have been very helpful to us and been praying for us. And we also pray for all our sisters and brothers, especially when we are traveling. Alhamdulillah. Now, when there is a musibah, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always remind his ummah, don't forget istirja. Yeah, don't forget istirja. Istirja meaning to say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Saying this word inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Islamically the term is istirja. Yeah? We were informed only on Sunday when we were on the way back that one of the brother is one of our Jama'ah's son was involved in an accident, and then he passed away almost immediately, yeah, on the spot where the accident took place. Yeah. May Allah Rabbul Alameen strengthen the iman and the sabar of the family who miss him a lot. Yeah. Been a young son, yeah, and just got married again, you know, and the wife is still very critical. Yeah. May Allah make it easy for the wife, inshallah. We have been asking Allah Rabbul Alameen to forgive all our sins, because we do admit that we are all sinners in a way, whether it's minor or major, and Allah knows best. So we never fail to ask Allah to forgive our sins and the sin of all the Muslims that we know and those that we do not know, because the best prayer is a prayer for everybody, not just for yourself. Yeah? We should not be selfish in our dua. That's why one of the best prayer that the Prophet always asks is Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azaban nar. This is a general prayer. Any prayer end with na 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 means all of us. Yeah? Ni 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 means for you. So it's always better to use na and the ni, yeah? Because we should be, yeah, representing everybody, so that if anything happened to us, people will not forget us, inshallah. When we are very selfish in our prayer, thing may happen, yeah, the same to us if something goes wrong with us. Who control the hearts of everyone is Allah. So when we are always kind to others, we believe that Allah Rabbul Alameen will be very kind to all of us. And then Allah will make everybody remember us, inshallah, in a good way. You know, there are many ways to remember people, but we always ask, may Allah give us people who remember us in a good way. You know? The way that please Allah Rabbul Alameen. You know? Now, according to what I still remember, inshallah, it will be confirmed and reconfirmed again by the sisters that we should be talking on page number 40 today about mourning. Yeah, the Chinese call Tuaha. And then just a few weeks ago is a day for the Chinese to visit their grave, yeah, called Qingbing. Now let us look into this topic. Yeah. This topic is a very important topic. Now, as a Muslim, we know that we have our own values, our own lifestyle, and alhamdulillah, we have been guided by Allah and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last messenger, of how to live and die as a Muslim, and how should we respond when something bad happened to all of us, for the male and the females. Islam is so beautiful because Islam is here to guide all of us what to do and what not to do when something happened to us. That's why I always say we have been blessed, because Islam is a very comprehensive religion. It covers every aspect of our life, from the day we were born until we die. Now, we know that it is part of our right to mourn, to feel sad. But in Islam, mourning is called hidat, in Arabic, which carry the meaning of abstinence, but that we are supposed to stay away, abstain ourselves from something, because it usually applies to a widowed woman whose husband's death forced her to abstain from many things that they were previously possible for her to do, or permissible for her. In the Islamic rule of hidat, is a widow's woman abstinence from all things that would invite others to desire her and seek marrying her, such as wearing perfume, using incense, putting eyelining, kuhur, or other form of makeup, wearing jewelry and attractive clothes, and leaving her house without needs, without important thing to do, just for fun, enjoyment. You are not supposed to do that. Therefore, mourning or hidat is a woman's physical display of sadness and grief for the death of a beloved one. Whether you like your husband or not, you still have to do that. Even the book said the death of a beloved one. Sometimes we love our men who have been very bad to us to die, But that means we are happy. Even you are happy inside, you cannot show your happiness outside. You got to have a lot of patience. Allah knows best. I don't think that any woman who has been dishonored, humiliated, beaten by the husband, would feel bad if that man died. It's a ni'mat, Maybe we make shukur sometime. But it do not happen to all of us, alhamdulillah. Now let us look into what the Prophet is saying about this matter. According to the Islamic rule, mourning up to 3 days, other than the wife, nobody have the right to mourn more than 3 days, according to the Shara. Except for her husband, that means the wife, it is not permissible for a woman to mourn more than 3 days over the death of a beloved one, such as her father, mother, brother, son, and so on, except for her husband. It's very strange, the way Allah and Islam teach us about this ruling, this feeling. Because there is a lot of difference between father, son, brothers, sister, then husband. Zainab binti Abi Salama reported that she heard Habiba radiallahu anha said that she heard Allah's messenger say, because this have to do with women, so normally the Prophet will address the woman about their do's and don'ts if something happened to the family. The Prophet said, لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن تحد على ميت فوق ثلاث. In other hadith, فوق ثلاث ليال إلا على زوج أربعة أشهر وعشرة. The Prophet is reminding the woman, it is not permissible for a woman who believe in Allah and the last day, Al-Akhirah, for the believing woman, to mourn over a dead person more than 3 days, except for her husband, where she mourned for 4 months and 10 days. When our husband passed away, we must mourn for 4 months, 10 days. What we should do, that means we should not beautify ourselves, make up, entertain ourselves, attending walima and so on. We have anything that have to do with happiness, we abstain ourselves from that. Because of course, the reason that Allah and the Prophet want us to do this, to make sure that now we are totally clean inside. Even we say that it's an old man, even old man, what we do not know. What happened, we don't really know. If Allah Qadar, suddenly we got pregnant, anything can happen. So if you are pregnant, the mourning period is after birth. It's not just 4 months, 10 days. 4 months, 10 days is only to make sure that there is nothing inside us. That means we are clean. Then after that, we can start back the normal lifestyle. We can dress ourselves nicely. We can attend all the walima, and we can travel like normal. Is to make sure that now we are a free woman again. Now this only applying to the believing woman and not the wife of the Prophet. The wife of the Prophet is forbidden for any man to marry with them. So they don't have that. Because they are like a mahram to all the believing men. That's why you call the wife of the Prophet mother of the believers. They are like mother figure to us. But when the Prophet passed away, of course their wife have to do that. But their mourning later on was explained that they don't have to do that because they cannot remarried with anyone. For us, the rule will continue is because we have the right to remarry. But for the wife of the Prophet, they can't. Even they want, they can't remarry anymore. Once any woman get married with a Prophet and the Prophet pass away before them, they are not allowed to remarry anymore. There is rule for them, they have a very strict rule compared with us. We still have a choice, want to remarry or not, but they can't. Zainab added that she visited Zainab bint Jahsh, one of the wife of the Prophet radiallahu anha. When her brother died, the latter requested perfume or some of it and said, I have no desire for perfume. But I heard Allah's Messenger said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that she quoted the above hadith. Abdullah bin Ja'far reported that the Prophet allowed the family of Ja'far 3 days for mourning, then came to them and said, La tabqu ala akhi ba'da yawm. When somebody passed away, other than your husband, so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not weep over my brother after this day, after 3 days. Of course we feel sad, but you cannot just carry on that kind of feeling without a break. You must break off already. Why? By doing that, is a sign to show that we are rida. We accept the qadar of Allah. Normally, when something happened, we thought that if the person survived, it's better to us. But we forgot, if they survive and they are like veggie, is a torture for them. And it will be a burden for the living. So sometimes when Allah qadar, that's when something happened and Allah take their life, it is a mercy from Allah to them. But it's not easy for the living to understand. The living will say, why? Why you have that kind of feeling? That means you are denying the qadar. You are having doubts about the qadar, that Allah's right to take the life back. Only the way a person die may differ from one to another. Example, if somebody died, and then now you know, if the doctor say if he will survive, he will like a veggie. What do we think? Do we think it's better for him that he go back to Allah? No, if you are a positive person, then you are ready to accept the qadar. Of course, we feel sad, but other than a husband, you only mourn for 3 days. Then life goes on. What Islam is trying to tell us, life have to move on. Yeah. The reason that the Prophet ﷺ talk about for the woman, and also in the Quran talk about that, is because to make sure that the wife is totally clean, no complication. Yeah. Again, I remind all the sisters, the reason of this hadat is only to make sure that there is nothing. Example, if a person just have their menses, yeah, then the law may move, may change. When you confirm that you are clean, then the law change. But if a person, it's just that when you just got married, example, while you are traveling, after the nikah, while you are going back, suddenly an accident took place, you don't have any relationship yet, there's no iddah. There's no iddah for, because they don't consummate the marriage yet. So when you have, but sometimes we do not know, you know, so to play safe, stay away. So that people don't create fitna, yeah, for 4 months and 10 days. Yeah? The above hadith of Habiba indicate that a widow should mourn over her husband the full term of her iddah, which is 4 months and 10 days. This is also confirmed in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verses 2, 3, 4. And is therefore a unanimous opinion of the ulama. Mourning, however, need not to be associated with continual grieving over the disease. Yeah? There is an adab of mourning. You are not supposed to hit yourself and then torture yourself. Yeah? Some of the wisdom behind hidat is allowing the woman some time to express her sadness over the loss of her mate and companion, her husband. Yeah? Showing regard towards the deceased parents and relative, and ascertaining the absence of pregnancy, yeah, to make sure that you are clear. Yeah. Mourning more or for less than 3 days, and this is the other rule. It is recommended for a married woman to refrain from mourning if that is required for pleasing her husband. Yeah. A great good may result from this. Is in the case of Sulaim radiallahu anha with her husband Abu Talha al-Ansari. Anas reported that his father Malik bin Anadar complained to his wife Sulaim, Anas' mother, "This man, the Prophet, is forbidding Qamar." So he departed to Sham is Syria, seeking freedom, and died there. this man, the Prophet, is forbidding khamr. Yeah? Khamr is liquor, yeah? Anything that intoxicates. Yeah? Abu Talha then approached Sulaim for marriage. She was a small woman with beautiful eyes. She responded, "Oh, Abu Talha, a man like you should not be refused, because Abu Talha is one of the best companions of the Prophet from Ansar." Yeah? So this woman said, "A man like you should not be refused. However, you are a disbeliever and I am a Muslim." When the thing happened, Abu Talha was not yet a Muslim. Yeah? Later on, alhamdulillah, he became a very close companion of the Prophet. Yeah? "Thus, I may not marry you." He said, "This is not what previously used to attract you." That means she, that the woman, she asked, "And what used to," they said, "the yellow, and what used to attract me?" He replied, "The yellow and the white, gold and silver." Yeah? She said, "I do not want any gold or silver. I don't care about gold and silver. All I want from you is Islam. If you still want to love me, you want to marry with me, the only thing I need from you is to become a Muslim. Yeah? If you embrace Islam, this will be my dowry." Allahu Akbar. "And I will ask you for nothing else." He asked, "Who will help me with that?" He asked, Abu Talha. She replied, "Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will help you." Abu Talha went to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he was sitting among his companions. When the Prophet saw him, he said, "Here come Abu Talha to you." With a sign of Islam between his eyes, the Prophet had the vision that Abu Talha is coming to embrace Islam. Then he told the Prophet about what Sulaim said, and he married them for that specified mahar. Thabit radiallahu anhu rahimallah said, "We never heard of any greater mahar dowry than the one she requested, which is Islam." Allahu Akbar. In my lifetime being a Muslim, the only weird mahar I heard is from a river in Copenhagen. Yeah? A river in Copenhagen or in Norway, I forgot, but in these two countries, when we visit them one day, and this river sister went to marry with a born Muslim, of course. She's not a Muslim. But the born Muslim want to marry her. She must become a Muslim, and she have the right for the dowry. Then he asked her, "What do you want from me?" She said to him, "I want you to bring me to Mecca for Umrah, and I want one set of Sahih al-Bukhari." Yeah. But it's not cheap to go to Mecca, actually. Yeah. But you see the value, sometimes you don't underestimate rivers. No? They have a different value. No? They long to go to this holy land. They know when you are not a Muslim, you can't go there. When you are Muslim, that means you can enter the Holy Land. So they just ask for Umrah and one set of Sahih al-Bukhari. Normally, marrying reverts is more easier because they don't involve in this tradition so much. Yeah? But when among Muslims, there's a lot of tradition. Yeah? Any tradition that do not contradict Islam is okay, but when it contradicts, we should not make it hard, yeah? Don't make it difficult, yeah? Because they are more blessing when they are lesser burden, inshallah. Yeah? So this is one of the things that happened among the Sahaba. And this is why the Prophet quote the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Then hijratuhu ilallah wa rasul, fa hijratuhu ilallah wa rasul. Faman kana hijra li dunya yusibuha aw imra'at yunqihuha. Fa hijratuhu ila ma hajara ilay. In the first hadith of Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet remind his ummah, whatever you do is based on your intention. If you migrate for the sake of Allah and follow the Prophet's sunnah, you will get Allah's blessing and you will get the Prophet's shafa'ah. But if you migrate because of dunya, you get the worldly things. But if you migrate for a woman, you get the woman. Because you are coming to Islam is because of that woman, then you get that woman. Alhamdulillah. You see how fast the Prophet settled the problem. He became a Muslim and he informed the Prophet. Salam said to me, that will be my mahar. So the Prophet sent somebody to look for Salam and then asked her, do you promise this man that his conversion will be a mahar to marry you? She said, yes. Immediately the Prophet married them. Yeah. So the Prophet never want to delay anything that is good. Yeah. We may have problem, wait for another years, you are so new to Islam, and this and that, and then we have a lot of issues about that. To show us that we don't question the intention so much. It's a sabab. It's just a reasoning. When people come to Islam for a reason, it's okay. There's nothing wrong. But if you try not to accept that reason, then they have to lie to you. Why do you want to be a Muslim? I dream, I saw the Prophet. I dream, now I hear the Azan. And of course, now you are going to tell them how to lie. That is very, very bad. Yeah? So, if a person come to Islam because they want to marry another Muslim, encourage them, guide them properly. Inshallah, there's nothing wrong in Islam because the intention can be developed. Even the main intention is for other things, but that intention can change. Like all of us, our children, you call them to pray. Do you think they pray for the sake of Allah? Your children, when you wake them out every morning for Fajr, do you think they pray for the sake of Allah? Or because if I don't pray, my father, my mother is going to nag on me, I better wake up and pick wudu. While I'm praying, I may be sleeping, no problem. Because they don't mind even I'm sleeping when I'm praying. That's why the children sometimes they pray, not because of Allah, but no problem. Just remind them, educate them, encourage them, motivate them. But as they grow, we hope that it become a habit. Then they can pray by themselves now. Now they pray for the sake of Allah. In the beginning, I don't think they will pray for the sake of Allah. No? Sometimes our husbands also don't pray for the sake of Allah. They know that because they love us so much, if they don't pray, we'll boycott them, they'll pray. And then alhamdulillah, after some time, they learn to become a better Muslim, alhamdulillah. Now, what is very important is after their marriage. So Abu Talha married her. Yeah, the Prophet became the Qadi and she bore him a son to whom he became strongly attached. Abu Talha was very close to this son. The child then became severely ill and Abu Talha was strongly overwhelmed by that. Abu Talha's habit was to get up for the morning prayer before perform wudu, go pray with the Prophet, stay with him close to midday. This is what the Prophet companions sometimes will do. They spend a lot of time with the Prophet, then come home to eat and rest. He would then pray Zohar, prepare himself and leave again until the night prayer. One evening Abu Talha was in the masjid with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the child passed away. Sulaim said to those with her, let no one announce to Abu Talha the death of his son. Don't tell the father. until I be the first to announce it to him. She then prepared the body for burial, put it in the far side of the house and covered it with a piece of cloth. It's a very unique case. Yeah? It happened once only in the history of Islam. Yeah? Abu Talha came back from the Prophet ﷺ Masjid Medina with a group of his companions. He asked her, "How is my son doing?" Because he was very attached to this child. She replied, "O Abu Talha, since he fell sick, he was never more quiet than he is now." You know, when you fall sick, you will cry. Children, especially children, will keep on crying. They just cry because they are asking for help and we do not know how to help them. So maybe today there's a lot of fastest way, giving jab and so on. But now, see how she responds. Since he fell sick, he was never more quiet than he is now. And I hope that he is now resting. She then brought the dinner, put it in front of them. They ate and the men depart. The friend all went home. Abu Talha went to bed. Sulaim beautified herself, wore perfume, and follow him to bed. As soon as he smelled the perfume, he did what a man would toward his wife. Toward the end of the night, after that, when the husband is resting very happily, now she started to talk. "O Abu Talha, if someone lends something to another and then requests it back, would he have any right to refuse returning it?" This is a very unique dialogue. "Of course," Abu Talha replied. He replied, "No, you cannot refuse. How can you refuse? Because this thing don't belong to you. The owner want it back, give it back. Nobody have the right to say no to them." She said, "Allah has then lent you your son for an appointed term, ajal musamma, and then took him back. So seek his reward and be patient." How do a man react? This is how Abu Talha react. Being a man, being human, he became angry and said, "You waited until I disgrace myself with what I have done. That means I was enjoying my night with you." He felt that he have no right to be happy if the father, the son, pass away. "And then you announced to me my son's death." He then said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Now what is important is, of course, this thing, none of us will do it. The minute our loved one pass away, we ourselves feel so bad. Then we are going to inform the family members. I'm not saying that we should follow Sulaim. Just sharing with all of you sometime what happened in the time of the Prophet. Certain woman, when she want to convey a message, a news like that to the family, especially the father, she know how attached this son is to the father. So she do not want just to cause him. You see, sometimes this bad news, if the person is not ready, it can cause him another attack. The same thing that I told you about the accident of this woman. So until today, some of the family member was asking whether they should tell the wife what happened to the husband. I said, "No, not at this point of time." because she was not really conscious yet. No, maybe she was hoping to see the husband. Now this kind of accident, to my knowledge, happened twice already among people that I knew. Same with a motor. It's a motorbike accident. I wouldn't say that you don't allow your children to use motorbike, you know. If Allah want it to happen, it happen. No. So when somebody pass away and we know that the person is very close to the person who died, it's not wise to just tell them directly. No. It's good to find a better time. This is part of the wisdom of Sulaim, because Sulaim know the relation between Abu Talha and the son. So she must find the best time to express this, to share this news to the husband. But the beautiful part is, they said, if someone lends something to another and then requests it back, would he have any right to refuse returning it? Of course, he will reply, no. And that is actually to prepare his state of mind, that we know that all the children that we have is from Allah. It doesn't belong to us. It's a land from Allah. Allah lent it to us for a while for us to take care as an amanah. And that's why when you have children with you, you must make sure that you try your level best to guide them, educate them, discipline them, and make them righteous children, because children is amanah. Now, when you have done your best outside your sight, you leave it to Allah Rabbul Alamin. But if you don't do your level best, something happened to them outside, you will be responsible. If that's why one of the surah that is very important to look into, how to guide our children, how to help them, is to make sure that we remind them about prayer. That what Luqman said to his son, Ya Bunaya, Aqimus Salah. Luqman always, when he see his son, he will ask him, have you performed your prayer? When the son travel anywhere, he remind his son, don't forget your prayer. When the children come home, he will ask them, have you performed your prayer? The prayer always come first. That's why Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa, he always remind all his officials that check your people about their prayer. Make sure that they perform their prayer. When they are alert of Allah, when they are aware of Allah, we hope that they will feel that Allah is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing. They cannot escape from Allah's monitoring. They can escape from you, but not from Allah. You must put that consciousness in the mind of the children. Wherever you are, Allah is watching you. Because I have connection with Allah, Allah will inform me, your mother or your father, what you are doing behind our back. Make them feel that. The next time they keep on searching left and right, my father is there. How can my father know? How can my mother know? But of course, you also have to do your homework. You have to check your children sometime, whether they are lying to you or not. Because children sometimes, because everything is so corrupted outside, they can easily be influenced by the bad environment. So if you are two or three steps ahead of them, you can help them faster. So it's good to remind them. And that's why Abu Talha realized, he was angry for a while, but then he realized that Allah gave him the son, and Allah have the right to take back his son. And when the children die at that age, they have no sins. They can be a shield for the parent. Yeah? From entering hell, they can be a protection, that even the parent have lesser reward from their deeds. But with the children's prayer, Allah's mercy will allow the children to bring the parent to paradise. Yeah? Now in the morning, he performed ghusl, of course, as a person who have consummated with the wife, went to Allah's messenger, prayed with him, and told him what happened. And Allah's messenger said, Barakallahu lakuma fi ghabir laylati kuma. May Allah bless for you and what you have done last night. The Prophet now said, how bad your wife is. Why she do this to you? No. See the way how the Prophet respond, mashallah. Yeah? Because Sulaim is a person where Allah gave her other wisdom. She know the feeling of the husband towards the son. It's not easy for her to hide that news. Yeah? Later on, Sulaim became pregnant from that night. Yeah. What happened? Firstly, I would like to remind all the good brothers and sisters, according to the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if anybody consummate or have any relation with the wife last night, because we do not know who is going to die, you know, then suddenly somebody passed away that night or tomorrow morning. So normally when somebody reached the graveyard, whoever want to go in the graveyard to carry the body down, the Prophet will ask them, any one of you have relationship with your wife last night? If they said, I, the Prophet said, stand up, you cannot go down. You must come up, let replace with another person. Meaning the Prophet do not allow any man who have a relation with their wife last night to go down into the grave. This kind of warning is not being practiced anymore. A lot of people don't bother to ask. But it is a sunnah of the Prophet. Because the Prophet do not want anybody who have a relation with their wife last night to enter the graveyard. Yeah, in the graveyard. Yeah. You can go to the graveyard, yeah, but you cannot enter the graveyard, yeah, inside there to carry the body down. No. You replace with someone else. Yeah. But Allah's blessing, Sulaim became pregnant from that night, and he was informed of it. The Prophet said, Iza waladat fa'atawni bisabir. When she delivered, bring me the baby. Hmm? It's another blessing, yeah, from Allah Rabbul Alameen. Yeah. Sulaiman used to travel with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, leaving when he left and returning when he returned. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was preparing for a trip when Sulaiman was in advanced pregnancy and was feeling some pain of labor. Abu Talha found himself restrained by that, and he said, Oh Allah, you know that I like to go with your messenger when he goes and return with him when he returns. Companions and the companion wife sometimes, they just love the company of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wherever the Prophet go, they like to travel together and return together. But I have been restrained, as you see, because Sulaiman told him about, yeah, the labor pain. Then Sulaiman told him, Oh Abu Ta, I do not feel the pain anymore. The pain stopped. So let us go. Thus they went on that trip with Allah's messenger. Allahu Akbar. Yeah? As they approached Al-Madinah on their way back, that means on their way back from the journey, she went into a full labor and delivered a boy. She told her son, Anas, O Anas, take these dates and do not let the baby eat anything until you give him first to Allah's messenger in the morning. The Prophet ﷺ practiced what was not to enter suddenly into Al-Madinah, but to camp on its outskirts before entering it. Anas took care of this baby brother all night, leaning over him, trying to soothe him. In the morning, he took him to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He found him wearing a stripped cloth and marking some cattle that he had received. When he saw the baby, he asked Anas, "Awalatat bintu Milhan? Did Milhan's daughter deliver?" That means Sulaiman's father is Milhan. He replied, "Yes." He said, "Rudak, afrukulak. Wait until I finish what I'm doing," because the Prophet was attending to something. He then put away what he had in his hand, held the baby, and asked, "Amma'ak Shay, did you bring anything with him?" He replied, "Yes, some dates." Now, this is something very important for us to understand, but I will just continue this verse. The Prophet ﷺ took some dates, chewed on them, mixing them with his saliva, opened the baby's mouth, rubbed the chewed dates inside his mouth. The baby started hungry, sucking the sweetness of the dates as well as Allah's Messenger ﷺ's saliva. Thus, the first thing to enter the baby's stomach was the saliva of Allah's Messenger. Then he said, "Unzuru ila hubbul ansar at-tamar." Watch how the Ansar love dates. Yeah? Because this child among the Ansar now. Anas then said, "Oh Allah's Messenger, give him a name." Yeah? Normally, people will ask the Prophet, if they meet the Prophet, or scholars, to give a good name to their children. Yeah? The Messenger rubbed the baby face and named him Abdullah, the servant of Allah. Name that the Prophet loved, yeah, is Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Abdurrahim. Other than that, you can, as long as there is a name of Allah after that, before the name of Allah, put Abdul for male. Yeah? That means the slave of Allah. Abdul Salam, because Salam is one of the name of Allah. Abdul Qahar, yeah. Abdul, you just have memorized the 99 names, then you put Abdul in front. Yeah? Now, this practice of the Prophet is known as Tahnik. Yeah? This is what Tahnik is. Now, we have a lot of discussion lately about, should we do the same to the newborn child today? I have been practicing a different thing. Every time when people bring their baby to me on the seventh day of the birth of the child, I will use honey, something sweet. Yeah, something natural and sweet. I don't use dates, because the saliva of the Prophet have his own blessing. Our saliva, I don't know. You know, may I have some affection to the child. That's why some sunnah of the Prophet we don't apply fully, because the Prophet have special blessing that Allah had given him. So we can put some sweet thing, honey would be the best, because asal is a form of remedy, yeah? But not a lot, just put maybe 7 times, you just put a bit, yeah, in the fingertip and then rub, yeah, into the mouth, I would say the gum of the child, and start to make dua. You can see inshallah, but also it's very important to make sure that the person who want to do this don't have long fingernails, because if not, it's not clean, it's not hygienic. And also, the person must be very careful. They must wash their hand properly before doing this. Yeah, something entering the mouth of the baby is still very young. And the immunity of the baby, we do not know how. So it's good to make sure that we do it properly. So I know that the Prophet used tamar. Sometimes people will use tamar and bring tamar to me, but I'll use honey. You know, I think that is the best for us. You know? So this is important. Tahnik is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best for us to do is on the seventh day of the birth of the child. Yeah? Don't delay unnecessary. You do the tahnik and you do the halaq. You shave the baby's hair and you do aqiqah. You slaughter a sheep for a baby girl, two sheep or goats for a baby boy. And then the hair that you have shaved, you weight with gold or silver. It's up to us. If you want to go maximum gold, minimum silver, you value, yeah, how many grams, yeah, from the weight of the hair, and then with the value of the gold or silver. Then you give sadaqah. Now the aqiqah, the animal, can be divided into three parts. One third is for you. One third you can give to anybody you like, whether they are Muslim or not yet Muslim, your neighbor, rich or poor, no problem. But one third must be given to the poor. So it's divided into three categories. But if you don't want, then you can give everything to the poor. That is your choice. Yeah? That is your choice. Now, when you come to choices, brothers and sisters, it's very important, yeah, to know, yeah, what rights we have, yeah, and what can we decide. Before I add other thing, so Anas then said, "Oh Allah's messenger, give him a name." The messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rubbed the baby face and named him Abdullah. Anas said that no youth among Al-Ansar was better than Abdullah. Many men descended from him, and he was shahid in Persia, and he died, yeah, in a battle, yeah, where the Muslim was fighting the Persian, yeah, disbelievers. Yeah. Now, many men descended from him means from him there was a lot of good, righteous, yeah, men, yeah, that mean his offspring, yeah, spring have a lot of good people, yeah, because of the blessing of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, brothers and sisters, everything we must have, we must try our best to choose the best. Yeah, name the best name. Yeah, if you want to choose a partner, a best partner, and so on. Because this is your life partner. Yeah? Of course, even we try to look for the best, but sometimes Allah will test all of us. So we must have patience, wisdom to handle our life. Yeah? Don't use your anger to solve your problem. Yeah? You use your patience and always hope and pray. May Allah protect us and save us from a bigger trial. Yeah? Everybody will be tested, yeah, in a way. Now, come to death. We are talking about funeral today. We are talking about other things a bit, yeah, mixed. When a person passes away, there are five things that I want to remind all the good sisters and brothers that we must pay attention. Five major things that we have to look into it before we talk about other things. Number one, we must know whether the deceased have any debts with anybody. We have to clear his debt as soon as possible. Number two, we must make sure that whether we remember he have any wasiat, yeah, that he have entrusted to anybody, we must fulfill the wasiat. If he have any nazar, number three, we must try our best to fulfill the nazar. Number four, if we know that he have missed his fast in the month of Ramadan, how many days we have to redeem the fast by paying fidya, or somebody must fast on his behalf. Lastly, if you know that he have the means to perform Hajj, he have the money, yeah, he was healthy, but maybe for whatever reason he was not planning to go to Hajj, so you can do Hajj Badal for him. Yeah. These are few things that we should always look into it, then thinking of other things before, especially if he have money, use his money to do all these things, because it's his. So use that money, yeah, for himself. Yeah. I know everybody will be very sad, but the family must look into what he owed the people, clear it. What he owed Allah, clear it. You know? Because as Muslim, when you reach the age of baligh, when you are healthy, and then when you have the mean to go to Mecca, you should go already. But we always delay. You know? Not ready. But we are ready to travel so many countries, but not Mecca. So that is not a good reason at all. The Prophet even forbid anybody to just thinking of traveling to visit this place, that place, except the three mosques: Mecca, Medina, and Al-Aqsa, if you have the means. So this is very important for us who are still living to know what we should do for the deceased. Because everybody will be busy for other things. After the burial, the family must sit down and let us look into. Anybody remember about the wasiat? No wasiat. Alhamdulillah, clear one part. Nazar, no nazar. Cleared second. How about debts? There is, okay. How can we help him? If the family don't have the mean, then the family must send somebody to look for the person that he owe, and then ask the person with his mercy and with Allah's help to forgive him. And if the person said, no problem, I halal everything, alhamdulillah. Yeah? And that is important. Before you talk about how to divide the property, all this property should not be touched until these five things is been cleared. Then you talk about fara'id. Yeah? This is very important. Yeah? For the person that we love, who have left us, and he still have some of this thing uncleared, we should clear it for him as soon as possible. Yeah? Now lastly, man's mourning. The report in the Sunnah pointed that the mourning is not a man's practice. This is clear from the Prophet's words in the above hadith of Habiba that we have discussed earlier. During the Prophet's life, his wife Khadija, his son Ibrahim, his three daughters Ruqayya, Kalsum, and Zainab, his uncle Hamza, his cousin Ja'far, and many of his companions died or were killed in the battle. Yet we have no report of him performing Hidat for any of them. Similarly, when he passed away, his companion did not perform Hidat for him. Meaning, you cannot mourn more than 3 days. Therefore, mourning except for women, as explained above, is a sinful innovation that should be avoided. Now let us look at what happened. It becomes worse if it is associated with other sins or acts of imitation of the disbeliever, such as playing sad music, lowering the flags, declaring silence for a few minutes, wearing black ties or coats, and so on. This become a national practice sometimes in some countries. But normally the Islamic way would be the best for Muslim. We have all a way. Allah have said to us, lakum dinukum waliyuddin. But what happened to the Muslim today, because of the weakness of their iman, they are starting to imitate others, where we have the best way of mourning, but we are imitating now. So we hope that Allah Rabbul Alameen save us from this fitna. When something happens, we have our own value, we should be proud of it. Then slowly other people will learn from us. But now it seems that we are following other people more than they following us. This is a sign of the weakness of our iman. So may Allah protect us, brothers and sisters. And today we have a brother, inshallah, who is going to join us in faith and in Islam. But before we invite him in, if there's two questions I entertain today, inshallah, just two questions from the sisters first. Any question from the sisters? No question from the sisters? Alhamdulillah. Any question from the brothers? No question from the brother. MashaAllah. It's a happy day for me. One question. Faddal. Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah, after 3 days. If he wants. Not fair, yeah. Because it's, yeah, fairness to us is different. You say, wow, the man. But normally I don't think a good man will do that, you know. Because they do know that will hurt the family members. Even the children, yeah. If I don't think a good man will make that move. He'll use his wisdom, inshallah. Yeah. Or a good woman who wants to marry with that man also will advise him. Yeah, take a break further. Because that is important. That I'm just saying what Islam said first. But if a man decides to do that, you cannot say haram. You cannot. It's just, you know, it's not wise for him to do that. No. Yeah, that is the difference between man and woman. Yeah. But there are some men, mashallah, they understand, they don't even think of that anymore. Yeah. As long as they know how to take care of themselves, alhamdulillah. Yeah. Very interesting question from the sisters. No, yeah, for us, 4 months, 10 days. For them, 3 days. Astaghfirullah. But Allah knows best. Yeah? We as Muslim, when Allah do not forbid, we cannot forbid. Yeah? We just can remind them, can you delay a bit? Yeah, that one we can remind them. Yeah? Going against Allah's command, actually all this is a test from Allah. Like I would like to add, when, just an example, an accident. If the accident is sure that it is confirmed that the driver of the car make a mistake, he make an illegal turn, cause the death of a person. If the finding, after the finding, they intoxicate, no drug involved, everything is clear from the person who was killed, then Allah give a choice. Islamically, I'm talking about what Islam offer to the family of the deceased. They have 3 choices. Qisas, an-nafs bin-nafs, a life for a life. They can have that choice, Islamically. Or compensation. You can sue the guy and ask for compensation. Or you just forgive him. Yeah? You have 3 choices. Which one is the best one? To forgive is the higher ranking. But it's very painful. But if that driver have been doing this kind of thing, very, I would say that he is very irresponsible. Not only once. You should not just forgive. He will kill another person again. There must be a reason. But if he's just not his mistake actually, yeah, then it's good that the family sit down. You don't know. Sometimes your mercy, you talk to them properly, the family, they may have the hidayah, they may become a Muslim. You save another life. You don't kill, but you save another soul. So sometimes kindness is very, very important. But kindness always comes from people who have a strong faith. Yeah? So may Allah give us that spirit, the right spirit. But when the country don't implement the Islamic ruling, of course, the hudud cannot be applied. The only thing that the law may say, if you are a man slaughtering, consider you do this purposely, then it's up to the law of the land to decide what kind of punishment. But the Islamic law is so beautiful, it is not the country who have the right. The law of the land, it is the next of kin have the right. The human right is being given back to everyone, to the next of kins. Only the law of the country will judge the matter and give a verdict, then pass it to the family members, the family next of kin will have to decide. A life for a life, compensation, or forgiveness. Yeah? So, all this also is your right, and Allah also will test us, see which one we choose. Yeah? Now, so if no other question, we will hope all the sister and brother can wait for a while for the conversion of the brother. You can bring the brother in. We end this session first. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Come, Brother Dennis. Yeah, you adjust it. No, you can put here. Tak muat lah.